Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160, and Free Talk Live is brought to you by libertyminded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear like t-shirts and hoodies are available at libertyminded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny liberty-oriented clothing at libertyminded.com. That's libertyminded.com. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay,
and Riley.
And one thing that I think we were talking about getting into yesterday, but we just had so many different topics that we just kept talking about, was the U.S. poised to ease restrictions on marijuana in historic shift, but it'll remain a controlled substance. And ultimately...
So what's the point of changing the schedule of it rather than completely decriminalizing it? It's just a plant.
It's... Honestly, in my opinion, it just seems like something like to gain some kind of favor. Like it's probably like Biden wanting to get votes because he's like, see, look, I did something good for weed.
I would agree with you on that. I mean, it just seems like Biden is so desperate for votes. He's going to be like, oh, I'll just change the schedule. I can't decriminalize it entirely. I mean, that would look terrible, but I can change the schedule and make it look good.
I'm sure he's not even personally for that because, you know... He's one of the people that corrupted the crime bill.
Of course, he's a huge drug warrior. He's a criminal himself.
Right. So this is what they're doing. If you don't know what it means for it to be a controlled substance or for it to be scheduled, there's something called the drug schedule that the federal government has. And a one on this drug schedule is like, oh, the worst of the worst. Like no one should use this. No medical use, totally dangerous to society for people to be using, and it's super illegal. And then two is less of that, three is less that. Marijuana is number one, and that's crazy considering alcohol's... Is alcohol, like, not scheduled, or is it, like, a low schedule?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I never thought about that till just now. But, like, other things that are way more harmful than marijuana are not number one like it is. It's crazy. It's one of those things that people don't really know why it's even like that. Except
I know why it's like that.
Yeah,
it's very clear. So this started. You know why alcohol was prohibited?
It was a fuel originally.
Because of some kind of like they wanted to start using oil.
U.S. standard oil. Mm-hmm. So 100 years ago, or actually maybe 100 and few years ago now, if you needed fuel and you lived in a rural area, you put in your Model T Ford alcohol, and you generally bought it from farmers on the side of the road. You would buy fuel alcohol at farm stands.
I only learned recently that there are still cars and things like vehicles that can run on alcohol. And Matt Roach was talking about, he was like, oh yeah, going to the track and the smell of a car going by on alcohol smells so good. I was like, what? That's a thing? I had no idea that
alcohol,
was possible.
Alcohol is an awesome fuel. So, like, you have these 5,000 horsepower funny cars that you like do a quarter mile pass at. They don't even do quarter miles now. An eighth of a mile pass, and they're doing 200 plus miles an hour at an eight. You know, in an eighth of a mile drag race, they had to cut it down to an eighth of a mile because the cars were getting so powerful and so fast. A quarter mile is too much, so now it's all eighth mile drags. And they're doing this in, like, I don't know, 2 seconds or something crazy. But I don't know the numbers off the top of my head anymore. But you can't make these engines do 5,000 horsepower on the petroleum because the engines will melt down. Alcohol is very high octane. It's super clean. In fact, when they were doing testing on alcohol cars in California, the state of CARB did these testings on on what they call E98, which is 98% alcohol and 2% gas. And the reason they want a 2% gas is so it's poisonous. Mm-hmm. So if you drink it, it kills you because somebody might drink fuel alcohol. And grain alcohol tastes nasty. Fuel alcohol tastes nasty. Anyways, nobody's really into drinking 200 proof alcohol. And if you do drink it, then you deserve to die because you're pretty stupid and you probably shouldn't be reproducing. You know, it's just nature doing its thing.
Yeah.
And anyways, when they did the tests on this alcohol in L.A., and this was in the 80s, on these cars, and you don't really have to do much to convert a car over alcohol. Like, basically any 1996 or newer, most of 1996 and newer cars will run on E85 just fine. E85 is 85% alcohol, 15% gasoline. And the only reason they have a little bit of gasoline in the E85 is because when it's cold, it just won't start on pure alcohol. You gotta, so like the real good alcohol conversion is you have like a 2-gallon gas tank. It squirts a little bit of gas in when you first start it to get it going, and then it runs totally on alcohol. But anyways, that's a little bit of a modification you have to do. So what they do with the emission controls is when the engine on alcohol was running, the tailpipe emissions were cleaner than the air outside. You know, LA's got like horrible air from what I understand. I've never been there. But
yeah, it does.
U.S. Standard Oil, John D. Rockefeller, basically the father of modern medicine, the original snake oil salesman, was selling his petroleum in little bottles as a cure-all for everything. And it was so toxic that when you drank it, your body like went into this insane, like, you know, recovery, healing, like, stage kind of thing. It actually made a lot of people very sick. But this is one of the things that J.D. Rockefeller was doing. But one thing he did is he took $4 million and he lobbied the Temperance. And the Temperance lobbied Congress with this money to make alcohol illegal. And Henry Ford was very upset about this because, you know, alcohol was a really good fuel. It was very consistent.
Making cars.
And when you drove your Model T from, you know, the country into the city and you needed fuel, you had to buy petrol. Well, Model T Fords and Model A Fords and many cars of the day had, you had to actually adjust the air fuel mixture depending on, you know, what fuel you put in, whether it was alcohol or gasoline in your car. And you also had to adjust the timing, and you would adjust the air fuel mixture and the timing on these cars as you drove them. So, like, you know, you would advance the timing a little bit as you went faster. Now cars do this stuff all automatically. They've been doing it automatically since, you know, the 40s. A lot of them with the timing anyways, and then the air fuel mixture, all that stuff with fuel injection and computer stuff has done it. So when it comes to marijuana, to getting rid of marijuana, marijuana was actually a name that the deep state gave to cannabis or hemp or whatever you want to call it. To demonize it, because to make it sound like it was this, you know, horrible Mexican thing, since Mary and Juan were the two most popular Spanish names, they demonized it. They also said that if black people use marijuana, that they rape white women. That was like literally straight up.
Yeah, there are videos, you know, about this.
Oh yeah,
Reefer Madness. Reefer Madness, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yep. So what had happened is Henry Ford was like, oh, well, now we got no more alcohol. And, you know, and getting rid of alcohol had a lot to do with the Great Depression also, because a lot of the farmers had a lot to do with recovering from it. I'm having my timeline a little screwed up here, but a lot of farmers were dependent on their alcohol and their, like, in Missouri, I think the IRS went, which was the original revenue, was, I don't know if it was called IRS back then, but the feds basically went and they seized something like 10,000 copper alcohol stills just in Missouri alone, because every homestead had an alcohol still. And because that was what they used for their lanterns as an astringent and as a motor fuel. So you couldn't run your tractors, and you all, everybody had to become dependent overnight on Rockefeller's petroleum.
It's crazy. And
so cannabis
is, it's one thing to change it to something that's more efficient. It's crazy to change, to make everybody in the country have to change their habits and the way of doing things for something that's less efficient.
Just like the bankers use government as, you know, their kneecap realignment men, you know, the J.D. Rockefeller was doing the same thing. So same thing. So when it came to getting hemp oil off the market, Rudolph Diesel was a guy who invented a diesel engine.
Hmm.
And him and Henry Ford had a, basically were working on a deal to put diesel engines in all of Ford's cars and tractors because the farmer could run this diesel engine on hemp oil. And hemp is like the pig of the plants. It will grow anywhere in almost any conditions. It grows really good. It actually... in Colorado, there was a lot of soil that there was some issues with it. I can't remember what it was, but they, you know, sprayed that like
Roundup.
But actually, Roundup sort of goes away and decomposes pretty quick. They were taking biosolids from wastewater treatment plants, and they were spraying it on tons of farm ground.
You were talking about that before. It's
call
so
it
gross.
Organic. So when the cannabis went legal and hemp went legal in Colorado to grow, there is a bunch of these farms that they did hemp for a couple of years on this ground that like tested like with poor quality and like bad stuff in it and these hormones and chemicals. And the hemp plant actually takes these hormones and chemicals and a lot of these things, breaks it down to its simple components and reaugments and cleans the soil. And even some of these chemicals, they can't find the actual chemical in the hemp.
Hmm.
Some things like if you have like oil spills and you have like lead and heavy metal, like the hemp, and there's mushrooms that actually eat hydrocarbons.
Oh, yeah. Mushrooms can do that.
Oyster mushrooms are really good at it.
Hmm.
But if you have like used motor oil, for example, have like some lead in it or a Babbitt in it or other kind of, things, chemical, these chemicals or elements, then they'll be like into mushrooms or they'll be like into hemp seed or whatever. And you wouldn't want to like eat that or use that for, you know, food production, but it does clean it up pretty well. But hemp oil is such a good fuel for diesel engines. It was the original fuel that diesel engines ran on was coal dust. The next fuel that they ran on was whale oil, and then they ran on hemp oil. So, but you can run hemp on any kind of vegetable oil. Years ago, I used to run my diesel trucks on vegetable oil. So you can run diesel engines, not hemp, but you can run diesel engines on basically any kind of vegetable oil, any kind of liquid that'll burn. You can run a diesel engine on. So
it just makes me wonder, why does it have to be illegal today? Like,
because the criminal industrial complex, criminal justice industrial complex is profiting off it so much. I mean,
yeah,
every time somebody goes in for a charge of some kind of cannabis for having the wrong species of salad
then
in their pocket,
they have free workers to make the ketchup packets for McDonald's or whatever.
That's a byproduct of it. The big thing is the courts. So when you go to court, like these people who get busted for some kind of cannabis charge, for example, whatever it is, they spend tens of thousands of dollars on attorneys, for example.
Yeah.
And they pay all kinds of fines. And then every time that you're charged in a court case, that there is a bond is created on some special, I'm not really sure how this all works, but some special, certificate deposit, whatever, out of the UK or something. Or New York City, and they create these bonds on these markets, and then these bonds, mature, and they make all kinds of money based on you appearing to court and entering a plea, for example, for this charge. And even if you're found not guilty, they still make money on these bonds, and they make more money if you are found guilty. And this is where it gets into the whole discharge thing and stuff like that. There's a guy, Brandon Joey Williams. His website is one stupid F, and then there's a vowel, and then there's a C, and then there's a K.com. and he gets into that stuff, and he does a contract killer course that people should check out. But, yeah.
Well,
so,
wait, I do want to get into the phones because we have David and Sarah in New Mexico. I'm going to bring up David. He was on the phone first in New Mexico. And also, David, I didn't hear from you yesterday, so I thought you were dead or something.
I was.
Oh.
I've risen.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Only one day. I outdid my predecessor. It took him 3 days. I did it in one.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm now creating a new planet, and I'm going to do it in five or less, not seven, not six, five or less. So how do you like those stats?
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Really
good luck.
Cool.
All right. Yeah. Oh, no, don't need any luck, man. It's, I appreciate the sentiment, but it's all skill, man.
Okay.
I'm excited to hear about this. Call back in after you finish your planet, please.
Well, you know, after the planet, I got to make inhabitants, like creatures, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have any people. I don't like people. They're icky. But, you know, maybe like horses.
Horses and squirrels and lizards and bunnies.
Yeah, but especially horses, you know, like the ones that Jay was talking about poking them horses.
Yeah.
Well, hypodermic needles. Yeah, you do that a few times.
Oh,
they fight back.
Hypodermic needle. Well, that's different. Yeah. I've been in a lot of racehorse barns, Jay. I've seen a lot of horse poking. So, I know that sometimes they do with a hypodermic needle, but other times, you know. Anyway, we don't want to get censored by the FCC or anything. So
I don't even want to talk about whatever you're talking about. If you're still talking about horses.
Yeah, cover your ears, Bonnie. Cover your ears. We'll tell you when the call's over. We got time.
I'm not old enough to hear about this.
Pardon?
I'm not old enough to hear about this.
No. What you're going to work it on 12, right? I mean 12. Bonnie gonna be 12 soon.
That doesn't sound like me. Why are you making me sound like a Muppet?
Well, because it's the only voice I can do. I don't think I can actually do an accurate voice of a 12-year-old Bonnie. Of course,
I don't think Bonnie sounds well, but okay.
That would be a fun recording, wouldn't it? To hear Bonnie when she was 12, to see what she sounded like then.
I'm sure there's something like that exists, but I'm not that much of a Zoomer to where it's just going to be easy to pull up or anything. But I am pretty good. But the thing is, I don't want to do it now. Because I would probably mess up, but I'm pretty good at doing a Gypsy Rose Blanchard voice, and she kind of just like talks like a forever 12-year-old because she was like that girl that her mom was abusing her, and she was her mom was getting her all those surgeries and stuff because what's it called,
Munchausen by proxy.
Thank you. She had her mom had Munchausen by proxy and was giving her daughter all those things, but she talks like a 12-year-old perpetually, and I think I got pretty good at doing her voice.
Let's hear it. Do it. Okay.
The first time I ever felt free was right when I walked into prison, actually. I'm gonna mess up. I'm sorry. She has kind of a country accent. She says stuff just like that all the time. Do you know Gypsy Rose?
But imitate it. Do it for us.
The first time I ever truly felt free because I was so naive was the first day I walked into that prison, believe it or not. I don't know if I'm doing a good job because I don't have a video of her to play and then listen to and try again.
Oh, that was the imitation. I thought that was your regular voice.
Dang it. Well, that's kind of the thing. We have somewhat of a similar vocal range. That's why I started doing it. I was like, I feel like she kind of sounds like me, especially if I catch a little country accent talking to Mushmouth Mike or something like that.
Mushmouth Mike is a prison guard?
No, he used to be on the show.
Mushmouth Mike?
Yeah, I never heard an episode with him, and I don't know why he calls himself that either. But
he comes around on occasion.
He comes around in real life, but he hasn't been on the show in a while, but he might come on again soon, and that would be really fun. Because they kind of leave for the winter a lot and then come back.
And who is that you were imitating so I can find that online and see what the real Bonnie sounds like?
Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
There was a movie about her, right?
Yeah, there's like multiple movies about her. The one is called The Act.
Okay, yeah, I actually watched The Act before.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
It's really interesting, scary stuff.
Was she also in burlesque?
No, she killed her mom. She had someone kill her mom.
Yeah, like the autistic boy or something.
Yeah.
And she was getting out and walking around without her mom knowing it or something, right?
She did like a couple times, and her mom would find out and like tie her to the bed for a week.
Right. Oh, yeah. Like yeah. So it's kind of a tough movie to watch.
Yeah.
Well, it was for me anyways.
Yeah, it really is.
And nobody called CPS?
Nobody called CPS because a lot of people believed that she really was disabled. And then whenever somebody would find out, I don't really know why anybody who actually knew the truth didn't.
Well, and so somebody probably did call CPS in real life, because one thing that we're learning at these hearings that I've been talking about is that there's almost every hearing, there's one or two people that complain about, there was this kid who was being abused and being neglected, or these kids, and the parents are drug addicts. And I called CPS multiple times to report on these. Nothing happened. And my friend called CPS. The kid's grandmother called CPS. The teachers called CPS. We had actually one of these incidents in town when Child Protective Services were putting tremendous amount of effort into harassing me and my family after the local police explained to them that, you know, there's no abuse or neglect. There's a family in town who, or a mom, I guess, I'm not sure if it was a family. And this is sort of hearsay, but it actually, I just found out the names of these people the other day, that were quite literally abusing and neglecting their children. And DCYF had no interest in dealing with them at all. Huh. But because my kids were young and healthy, they're very valuable to adopt. And these other kids were screwed up and traumatized and have no value in the adoption system. Therefore, they don't want those kind of kids in the system. They want ones that are high-valued assets. And since the social workers seem to somehow be, you know, involved in adoption agencies, probably have a financial interest. I haven't put that together yet. You know, they're actively looking for healthy, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white boys is the primary target, because that's the most valuable and most desired baby, 6-month-old baby to adopt, for example, and which is a description of my son at the time.
Even color and stuff aside, I've always heard that it is true that like 6-month-old and younger babies are the number one type of child that people want to adopt. So yep. it makes sense, because that's like the most quote unquote desirable, because they haven't been as traumatized, and then they'll feel more like they're their actual child.
Yeah, I have a friend. She went through the whole adoption thing. She finally adopted a baby, and they're white people, and they were like, "Yeah, we can get you a black baby that was born addicted to opiates, that's mm-hmm. under 6 months old, or a heroin baby or a crack baby, not a problem." Mm-hmm. And they were like, "No, we're gonna hold out for a white baby." And they did, and they spent a lot of money. It was like 100 G's they basically spent going in like 7 years. And they're like, you know, they couldn't have kids and they really wanted one. They finally got one. But it was a big deal.
603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. That's 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. We're getting back to your calls. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Donald Trump back in court Thursday in New York for his criminal trial regarding hush money. He had this to say going into the courthouse.
There's no case, and it should have never been brought. But if it was going to be brought, it should have been brought 8 years ago. You know, we're talking about 2015, 2016.
The former president's already been found in contempt for violating the gag order. The body of a fifth construction worker who went missing during the collapse of the Key Bridge in Baltimore has been discovered. The victim identified as 49-year-old Miguel Angel Luna Gonzalez from Glen Burnie, Maryland. Salvage teams found a missing construction vehicle and the body was recovered from inside. The national average for a gallon of regular gas has increased slightly from Wednesday. AAA now reporting it at $3.67 per gallon. California drivers still face the highest prices, with the lowest in Mississippi. John Schaefer, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
And 603-283-6160 is the phone number. You can bring up whatever is on your mind. That's 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. And with you on the show tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay,
and Riley.
And in the last segment, we started talking about this from APnews.com. U.S. poised to ease restrictions on marijuana in historic shift, but it'll remain controlled substance. I don't even see why it's all that historic. It's just like, it's some kind of thing that they're doing for a virtue signal or something.
It is.
Like that.
It's a virtue signaling tactic to make them seem like they're so good. Like they're trying to cater to somebody to make it look like they're doing something good for society. They're making sure that it's a different schedule.
We've heard your complaints, citizens. We'll
act on it immediately.
And they barely do anything. This says, the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration will move to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug. The AP has learned a historic shift to generations of American drug policy that could have wide ripple effects across the country. The proposal, which still must be reviewed by the White House Office of Management and Budget, would recognize the medical uses of cannabis and acknowledge it has less potential for abuse than some of the nation's most dangerous drugs. So basically, it's like fixing some of their hypocrisy. But however, it would not legalize marijuana outright for recreational use. the agency's move, confirmed to the AP on Tuesday by five people familiar with the matter who spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss the sensitive regulatory review, clears the last significant regulatory hurdle before the agency's biggest policy change in more than 50 years can take effect. So what does that actually mean? It says once OMB signs off, the DEA will take public comment on the plan, which means nothing. They ignore you. To move marijuana from its current classification as a Schedule 1 drug alongside heroin and LSD. It will move pot to alongside heroin. It will move pot to Schedule 3 alongside ketamine and some anabolic steroids. So yeah, ketamine is something I know at this point, like I have heard of tons of people and know tons of people that use ketamine in hospital settings. It's pretty very widely used for medicine at this point.
It's also used to help with depression for some people.
I know of a guy who's done, I don't know, multiple ketamine treatments, and he's been struggling with like a lot of issues, trauma, you know, emotional stuff, mental, whatever. And he is, this ketamine stuff has done him some good. I mean, he functions way better. He's happier. He's in a much better place. And, you know, and he's been like, you know, working for like 20 years trying to like work on this deal, and ketamine's really helped him a lot. So.
Nice.
Psilocybin can do the same thing.
I've also heard of people using ketamine for actual physical pain too. It seems like a really good idea. Mm. It says, after the public comment period, in a review by an administrative judge, the agency would eventually publish the final rule. And it says, Attorney General Merrick Garland's signature throws the full weight of the Justice Department behind the move.
Well, the Justice Department.
It says, it comes after President Joe Biden called for a review of federal marijuana law in October 2022. And moved to pardon thousands of Americans convicted federally of simple possession of the drug. He has also called on governors and local leaders to take similar steps to raise marijuana marijuana convictions. Raise marijuana convictions was Joe Biden about 20 years ago. Erase is what he's doing now.
Yeah.
He said, criminal records for marijuana use and possession have imposed needless barriers to employment, housing, and educational opportunities in December. Too many lives have been upended because of our failed approach to marijuana. It's time that we right these wrongs. Well, you're not really righting them, but okay. We do have Sarah. I mentioned we had Sarah on the line in the last segment. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live from New Mexico. What's on your mind?
Yeah, it's always nice to hear from David from New Mexico. He is a very interesting character. Yeah, he does live off the grid. I wonder if he lives in an earth house or whatever, those the recycled homes or adobe homes or whatever he does. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of intriguing what he means by, does he have portable electrical solar panels or something? I don't know.
He told me he lives as off-grid as someone could possibly live, and he, like, collects rainwater. But other than that, I really don't know if he has, like, does he have a geodesic dome? Does he have a... Well, I guess that's different than the earth homes. I'm just realizing.
I don't know if he could make an adobe home. They've been doing it forever here. I mean, so, but...
Do you know about the earth homes, Jay?
Earthships.
Earthships, that's what it is.
Earthships,
made with tires. Yeah, Adam Kokesh is in Ash Fork, Arizona, in about, I guess it's been 10 years now. I went down to his place and I helped him work on his earth ship a little bit. We went and gathered tires, did a bunch of stuff. And yeah, companies will quite literally deliver you tires for free, and you basically fill them with dirt and stack them. And it's a lot of hard work. And I totally recommend that you get a mini excavator if you're going to build if you're going to build an earth ship. And I actually live in a geodesic dome house.
But that's totally different, right? Because it's
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, like, earth ships are just made of tires, or is it? I mean, what's the difference? Sorry, probably a big difference, but I don't know.
The tire earth ship. The idea is that you like build it into a side of a hill, The front of it's facing the south, so these tires make good like walls against dirt and fill them up with dirt. What do they call it? Caliche is what they have there in like northern Arizona. I'm sure you got it right there in New Mexico too. It's like that red, very hard dirt.
Yeah,
and you can break it up, and so it's basically like the caliche is kind of like it's you know, you got to like chisel it up, and then it breaks down into like a dirt, and then as soon as you get it wet and it dries again, it's like hard, like a brick.
Because it's like a clay, right?
I think so. Anyways, so and then. The idea is that the sun in the wintertime absorbs all the heat that comes from the low sun, and then or the tire absorbs all the heat from the sun. All these tires, these black tires, so it adds its heat. And also that sort of the tires are sort of like insulation in a way. And then in the summertime, when the sun's directly overhead, you have all the tires are essentially covered by the roof. So there's no sun beating down on, you know, on the tires, making the heat. You know, it's like an Arizona thing. And North Ash Fork, Arizona, is up north by Flagstaff. So they actually do get some snow in the wintertime, and it does get cold. And that is, like, that's a hard work, and it's definitely some maintenance. I'm not really sure an Earthship is, like, a good, like, New England thing where we are. I don't know if anybody's even built them around. And
I've always heard about them in New Mexico.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's Arizona.
Yeah, so Taos, New Mexico is basically this. There's this community there where it's like all Earth ships. And that's actually where Adam Kokesh lived for a while, because he did like their whole Earth ship building workshop deal, you know, whatever they. I don't know what they have there. But I don't know if you guys remember Adam Kokesh, Adam versus the Man, was a show on RT for years. And he had his did his own podcast for a long time, but or show, but yeah. So the Earthships are cool. It sounds like it's a good desert thing. It's definitely I think it would be more aggravation than it's worth around here to build. I would build one, but you know, people do it.
Well, it's kind of interesting, but I actually called it about they're actually trying to build a bridge. Over at the street, close to my house, for the safety of this kids crossing the street to get to school. And I've learned this from one of the candidates that's running for the primary. So she left her flyer at her door. So I asked about what she would do to improve our pedestrian fatalities. And she mentioned there's talks about building a bridge over there. So I'm really excited that somebody's actually, you know, working on this.
Hopefully there's enough room for the pedestrians.
Well, I mean, no, I've seen kids try to cross in the middle of the street running for their life. And I see them miss them getting hit by a car like by 2-3 feet and the mom cross with them. I mean, it's a nightmare every day.
How old are these kids, you think?
I think they're in middle school.
So they're like 7 to 10 years old.
13 or something.
They're in their teens, yeah.
Young teenagers.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're so scared that if their moms cross with them, they're all going to get killed together. I mean, trying to get to school every day. And then they do this back and forth. And I don't know, they were talking about putting in a hawk light, putting in people that wanted this bridge, and she knew about it. Ms. Berman, she called me, and so she was in support of it. So I'm just happy that there are people that are even considering this and thinking about it. I mean, so I guess they could put that bridge over, and actually I would use it. If they put it, I would definitely use that bridge to get over and back.
I don't know what the solution for the state of New Mexico would be, other than to just, like, I don't know, you probably couldn't do it all at once, but just get rid of the welfare state, less people driving around doing nothing, you know, having cars but having no actual reason to be alive. I just feel like people on welfare, for the most part, they don't have any kind of, like, drive or real reason, like purpose to their life, and then they're driving around speeding, getting basically their dopamine hits off of speeding their
best cars.
Usually they're getting their dopamine hits off of the opiates,
drugs,
and living in a drug encampment. So they do have a reason to live, but it's for a dopamine hit. Some people's dopamine hits are different than others.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know what the solution would be. It's like you put in that bridge and somebody's going to go vandalize it because of New Mexico.
How much money are you donating to this bridge, Sarah?
Oh, Sarah. Hello? Oh, he asked, how much money are you donating to have the bridge built?
No money.
Oh.
You know what I found out? The welfare pays for the Uber, and also the Rio Metro pays for the Z-Trip taxi for medical.
So you're not paying any money to help this bridge be built, and you're excited about it?
You want the bridge to be built, though, but you don't want to, not enough to put money into it.
Well, I mean, it's a community. I mean, it's like a sidewalk. Do I, you know, put money into building my sidewalk?
It's not like a sidewalk.
No.
You know what it costs to build a bridge? So, and that bridge is going to be built by the most expensive possible government-approved vendor. And it's going to—it's insane, you know, the amount of dollars that go into these public works projects. They'll spend probably $5 million just to come up with an environmental impact plan.
Yeah.
Something stupid that'll go to some architectural ESG, whatever, you know, firm, you know, that's a government vendor that will,
some committee,
you know, that all of its employees make sure they donate the maximum contribution to, you know, the establishment candidates running that area, making sure they get all the contracts. I mean, so... You know, yeah, bridges are cool. Bridges are good for things. But, you know, I mean, there's no need for taxes now that we got crowdfund. We've got GoFundMe. Like, you want a bridge, do a GoFundMe. And we have the technology to build, bridges the cheapest they could ever be built in history. We have the technology to do medical care the cheapest it's ever been in history. And medical care is the most expensive it's ever been in history in the United States. Because you got inflation, and also you got the fact that
I thought it was capitalism.
So overregulated. We haven't had actual capitalism, as far as I'm concerned,
I agree.
Since 1913, definitely, at the very least.
Well, thank you for the call, Sarah. We do have Law Dog on the phones in Michigan. Law Dog, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Oh, the weather's on my mind. It's finally broke, and we've had some nice days. It's been kind of windy.
Yeah.
How are things going up there in the free state of New Hampshire, Bonnie?
It was so nice today. My sister and I just drove around for like an hour, and I just showed her different parts of Keene, New Hampshire, that we've never driven around, and looked at the houses and looked at the flowers and stuff. I even like stopped on the side of the road and bought one of those, like some woman selling bouquets of flowers on the side of the road and just leave cash. It was really, really nice out today. We were going to play badminton, but we ran out of time.
That's wonderful. How is Ian Freeman doing there? Have you visited him lately?
Yeah, I've visited him twice so far, and he's always doing well. He's always spending his time reading and really busying himself with all the stuff that's going on with GCN, which is the company that kind of carries Free Talk Live to our radio stations. They're going out of business, so we're working on self-syndication, and Ian is all on top of that. He wrote the emails that went out to the stations. We're calling the stations personally, trying to make sure we hold on to as many as possible, walk them through the steps to be able to pick up our shows still. And that's going pretty well. Ian, he always keeps himself busy like that. He always takes walks. There's like a track he can go and actually take walks outside now, as opposed to just this really depressing, creepy, concrete like square that you could stand in out and be at, quote unquote, outside in the jail. I could actually see that from the visiting place, and I was always like, wow, that's so depressing that that's the only outside they get. has like one basketball.
Well, you tell him to hang in there because I'm going to make a bold prediction here.
Okay.
In the year 2025, Ian Friedman is going to be pardoned.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That sounds like a fun prediction.
Well, I'll tell
you.
He's going to be pardoned.
That would be awesome. And if
guaranteed, as Rasheed Wallace would say for the Detroit Pistons back in 2004 when they won the championship. You guys hang in there because there was nothing. I mean, it was horrible what happened to him and you guys.
Oh, well, thank you so much. That's a great prediction.
You guys hang in there. And justice will prevail, and I think it's going to happen for him, and I'm going to pray for his pardon. You guys take care. God bless. Stay safe, and stay out of Michigan. This is a China communist state with the governor and AG? What's that? Attorney General. Yeah, it stinks here. It's bad.
I've actually never been there. Have a good Bye. Rest of your night. Thank you.
Yes, speaking of Ian getting pardoned, if Vivek Ramaswamy or Tulsi Gabbard have anything to do with the Trump administration, if Trump gets elected, there should be no reason that Trump is not pardoned, Ross Ulbricht is not pardoned, and also Edward Snowden, because Tulsi was at Liberty Forum. I just listened to her on a PBD podcast today while I was working, and I like a lot of the stuff Tulsi has to say. I don't know if she's just changed her tune for political reasons, or she really actually does care about the country. Who knows? You can't tell because all politicians pretty much lie.
Yeah.
And I also like a lot about what Vivek has to say. And same thing. I don't know if he's lying or not.
You know, TJ actually asked Tulsi if she would ask the president to pardon Ross Ulbricht if she was vice president, and all her answer was, "I'm learning more about Ross every day," like just a very politician, not a yes or no. That should be an automatic yes, in my opinion.
Right. Well, and if she's heard about Ross before, it definitely should have been a yes.
Yeah.
But that would be really good. And it sounds like, you know, there's a whole bunch of people that should be pardoned. And, you know, another thing is, too, is I don't believe the president's in charge.
Yeah, right.
I believe the Trump administration, the Biden administration, the Obama administration, Clinton administration, basically, they have like some sway, some power. They got their little things they want to do, maybe. But it's basically, imagine it's a bus and the president's not driving. Yeah, he's not sitting in the very back doing nothing. You know, the entire time. But basically the president's not in power. The deep state's in power. You know, and even with Trump, that was, if you really look into it, like Trump wanted to, like, you know, and pull troops out of a bunch of these countries, and basically the deep state was like, nope, you're not doing that. And because the system's just flawed and corrupt.
I totally agree. I've always felt like that. Like, nothing changes. The presidents change. A few little things change. And that's why maybe I would see where you're coming from with, like, maybe they have a little bit of sway, like, little things they want to get done. Like, Joe Biden wanted to get the Ukraine war going because of something to do with his son's money laundering he was doing over there. I'm pretty sure. I mean, like, what are the odds? It happens, like, the month after he gets elected. But I just don't think that any of them are truly, truly in charge and, like, can do whatever, like, you think a president should be allowed to do. Like, oh, they have the right to pardon people. I don't really think they're allowed to just do whatever they want, like, and pardon Ross Ulbricht.
Maybe not anymore.
Yeah, maybe they used to.
Maybe they're controlled by somebody.
So I'm just reading here on Twitter, the feds are going after Jack Dorsey now.
Who is that? I know the name.
Jack Dorsey was the guy who... he did Cash App.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're going after him because they're saying Cash App and Square. Internal documents indicate that block precedes crypto transactions for terrorists, is what it says.
Oh, that's ridiculous. My gosh. That's ridiculous.
This is just getting absolutely insane when they're coming after people. It's like they're trying to target Bitcoin and cryptocurrency for a purpose. They want to demonize it.
That's why the best thing that could happen to Ian would be for him to actually win his appeal.
Oh, I agree.
Because it would help all these other people, too.
The United States government is at war with cryptocurrency. There's another headline here.
So, yep. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Yep. Everybody can tell at this point. It's a dying, lashing out beast. The U.S. dollar is completely irrelevant. There's no reason to actually use the U.S. dollar, considering the fact that you don't have to pay taxes to anyone if you are just using self-custodial cryptocurrency, and if you actually had a way to buy it without the government knowing and everything like that. You can send it instantly anywhere in the world. You can use low fees on things like Dash. You don't have to just use Bitcoin itself, like Bitcoin, the standard one. You can use other cryptocurrencies that are cheaper to use, smaller fees. And there is just no reason to actually use the U.S. dollar anymore. But most people just like don't know about it or think it's more complicated than it is. They're like, oh, that's way over my head. And then like all the stores they shop at don't accept it yet because nobody's like going out educating store owners on it. And it's just not widely adopted for use, as in actually spending. So because of that, that's the only reason that the dollar still exists. But the U.S. government knows that it is a threat, and they're a dying, lashing out beast, I think, for lots of reasons. Like, well, I mean, you can't just spend forever. You can't just print money forever.
Eventually, you're going to inflate it so much or too much, and it's going to become so worthless. And the people are going to be like, why is our money so worthless?
And the youngest generation now is now the Gen Z. They are now the most incredulous of the U.S. government that has ever been. I just think like they realize that they are losing power. I mean, how many people that are like younger than 25 go around like seriously believing like, oh, if I just become president, I can change things, or oh, the government, you know, actually works for me and wants what's best for me. I really don't think that many people do believe that, and that's why they're going after crypto, because crypto is a way out of complying with this terrible, destructive, disgusting system that creates war, does all the things we've discussed in the show tonight, like creates big pharma, because the only way you can have corporatism and things like big pharma is with the government, because the big businesses have to have a government to work with in order to...
And they have to have government permission, too.
Right, to have permission and extra permissions, like more rights than the other businesses to create monopolies and stuff like that. So it's been Free Talk Live. Thank you for listening. You can go to freetalklive.com. You can go to jnoon.com. And thank you for listening. We'll be on every other day of the week. And we're live Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. Peace.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. care, nonprofits, and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.